Blog Talk Radio.
No. See, that's the old way of doing things. So now, you know, just hit my music. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy B-Train. And first thing that I'm going to talk to you all for, you know, I'm going to touch briefly on depression and wrestling because that's going to cover the majority of the discussion topic today. Last night, you know, it got interrupted by a wonderful person. You know, I didn't know his name. Could have got it, but I wanted to continue on the discussion that I was trying to relay to all of you. Depression in wrestling can stem from the individual, can stem from person feeling complacent, not really wanting to go further than he or she wants to go, or finding out that wrestling really wasn't meant to be. But how do you know for sure if you never put forth the effort or change or make any kind of effort whatsoever to get yourself out of said depression? So, this is not an advice column. This is just speaking from experience. A lot of people hear sob stories. A lot of people create sob stories, or they're just attention whores, period. So, I got to just say it. When you deal with a friend who is or was thinking about suicide, it's no joke. Now, people say, there's hotlines for that. You know, you shouldn't be concerned with his problems. You don't understand, yo. I wear my heart on my sleeve. It's not about me, or was never about me in this situation. I can tell you, depression in wrestling is real. Despite having however many likes on your Facebook page, or how many people tweet back at you on Twitter, or how far you go on Instagram to making yourself or presence known, it all derives from the person, because the person, that person going through the shit that they're going through, it takes a lot out of them mentally. From mental capacity to go to each city or go to each local booking that they're involved in, it takes a lot. People don't realize, oh, you know, they're just wrestlers. They're Superman or Superwoman. Takes a lot more than that. Takes a lot of self-assurance. Takes a lot of confidence boosters. Words of kindness or go a long way. Positive thinking. Putting yourself out there as a servant to the business. That's the main thing. What you put into it is what you'll get out of it. Don't be looking to, you know, tell the promoter what you're doing, is what I've been told. Speaking about depression and wrestling, believe that when you go through a promotion that, you know, negates you because you think, okay, well, I'm talented, I should just have certain things given. What are you trying to say? Are you saying that you are better than most of the groups being portrayed, you know, most of the groups of people being portrayed in wrestling, like your John Cena's or your Nakamura's? You think those guys went through their careers just saying to themselves, oh yeah, I'm going to be great and I'm not going to have to go through any kind of any form of depression whatsoever? Do you know? Okay, I'll use an example, guys. TJ Perkins was living out of his car, traveling from place to place. And this was, you know, not just from my knowledge about Ride Along on the network. He'd actually sit on the truck itself, T.J. Perkins would go from, you know, wherever it was the night before, ride with the equipment and get out, shower at the local place, get back on dirty equipment, and go home. So what does T.J. Perkins' story have to do with how does it deal with depression in wrestling? It's overcoming adversity, a part of dealing with wrestling, or no, depression in wrestling. I can tell you right now, it does have something to do with it, because TJ's story, one of many wrestler stories can tell you, it's a grind. You go out on the road, you get paid, you make sure you have enough for gas, enough for food, enough for lodging if you're staying overnight. Then you either get booed or cheered. You know, people who pay $10 admission, they get it, it's badass. You know, the feeling's great. You get a hoorah out of it. But when you go home, you seek reality. You have to go to a job. It's not fun. Because let me tell you, a lot of guys and gals in wrestling will tell you, I'd much rather give up my 9-to-5 job and work in professional wrestling. A lot of people make the mistake of saying the WWE is their ultimate goal. Again, how am I tying this in with depression and pro wrestling? Like I said, there's a lot of stories that can be told about how people overcome their adversity. A lot of people still are in their depression. So it's a clusterfuck of emotions, let me just tell you. And I will get to the SmackDown recap soon. But for now, I'll just go through it and tell you. There's a lot going on right now in the world of wrestling. Who would have ever thought, you know, as far as guys like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, that they would ever make it to the level that they made it. They went through a lot of depression, too. They went through probably, well, you know, a lot of doubt in their mind. Some, you know, or they probably told themselves, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it big. So I'm just going to circle this all back around. Or actually center the subject right now. Depression in wrestling is real, folks. It's not something that you just pick up and say, I'm depressed. I didn't get a booking. I haven't gotten a booking in how many years. You get what you put into it. It's kind of the harsh reality, man. When you're a manager and promotions aren't coming out of the woodwork to get you, here's the thought. What are you doing to show the promoter why you are worthy of managing said wrestler or working their show? It's, you know, I keep referencing JT Davidson simply because there's a fine line, you know, between a guy who just gets involved in matches and just pulls a leg or just goes over a ring. Now, I'll use myself as an example. I'm not a Greek tragedy. But I did go through a promotion in which I was up, I was down, I was up, I was down. It was like a yo-yo or a roller coaster, right? That's a better example. Whenever I was going through my depression, I made the mistake of putting shit out on Facebook because I hate letting people in sometimes because I don't trust very many people. The wrestling business, you'll learn, they're shady characters no matter who or what's involved. So my depression was something that I had to work out. So I moved. I made it, you know, I made it better by getting myself out of the toxic environment that I was once in. Granted, some people may disagree with what I say on this podcast because I'm basically telling it like it is. And if there's a problem with that, then fine, get your ass in line. I don't give a fuck. So, anyways, as I was saying, I dealt with depression and wrestling in a different light because at one point, yeah, I was feeling so depressed to the point where I didn't want to be here on this earth any longer. Just going to say the S word. Suicide was a thought. It was a contemplation that I had because outside of wrestling, really didn't have much going for me. Wasn't involved with family because wrestling was taken up at that time. But at the same token, I finally gained control of some things in my life, and I was able to manage better. Not, you know, in wrestling, but in life. So my story goes something like this. You heard it a million times, so I'll give you the cliff notes. 2008, I started looking into going to a wrestling school. There wasn't any wrestling school in Kansas City. Closest one was in Elgin, Missouri. And I got to tell you, I couldn't afford, so I went, or tried to at least go find a credible name. I wanted to learn from Jim Cornette because he seemed like a good guy. So after, you know, off and on again with wrestling, I found a place in 2014-15. Only lasted about a year and a half and called it, you know, or got fired the Eric Bischoff way, not phone but email. So here's the thing, guys. The way that I dealt with that depression while I was with this group was not very healthy. Taking it out on family members, doing all this stuff. Depression and wrestling can get to the individual when it's the individual, he or she is being attacked, isn't doing anything for the business, whatever. But there's ways to turn it around. So this ain't fucking camp counseling shit. This is for real. So before I get to the SmackDown Live review, I'm just going to pause and say, no matter what people say or do, it's always going to be, what have you done for me lately in some instances, or what can you do for me? In other words, if you are a servant to the business, what are you doing to serve? How are you letting the promoter know that you care? Type thing. That's how you get over depression in wrestling? Huh? No. You're the individual that is in control of his or her destiny. So you decide whether you want to get out of your depression or just keep bitching about it on fucking Facebook. Or, you know, here's the thought. Text a friend. Call. You know, write. Do whatever makes you happy. But I implore you, don't overdo it on social media, because that is the one area where depression and wrestling can get really ugly. So that being said, folks, I'm going to recap, well, you guessed it, SmackDown Live. All right, ladies and gents. So SmackDown Live kicked off from Toronto, Canada. Same place as Monday Night Raw. And this crowd was a live wire. Let's just start it off by, you know, okay. John Cena basically acknowledged Shinsuke Nakamura. talked in his promo about how Shinsuke Nakamura, I hate that I lost to him, but I have the utmost respect for him, for a man wanting to be champion. Here comes Baron Boren's dumpster fire Corbin out of the back to interrupt John Cena's promo. Then Daniel Bryan made the match for SummerSlam. Don't care for either of those two. So my assessment on this whole ordeal is, I don't know, maybe they're trying to bring John Cena back in the fans' good graces. I don't give a flying fuck. Jeez, the build for that. Okay, moving forward, because I don't want to be bored to tears. We got the Usos versus Ty Dillinger and Sami Zayn. Now, this was a high-octane match, if you ask me. There's a lot of near falls, a lot of... So, you know, that's cool. They paired up Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger, the two strong, underrated superstars on the card. And I think it was pretty badass. So, let's see here. Well, there's a lot of back and forth between Zayn and Dillinger versus the Usos. So, you saw Zayn, flying all over the place. It was high-octane action. And Dillinger basically attempted the perfect or the tiebreaker, which is his finisher. So, the Usos ended up winning their half Boston crown over Ty Dillinger. So I think it was good. I think New Day coming back, not being there every week is kind of a good thing. Keeps them fresh, keeps them, involved with the fans somewhat. So, okay. I'm hoping something great happens at SummerSlam. So not too big on New Day, to be honest with you, but I do like the fact that they're keeping him off TV from time to time. So I wonder if Zayn and Dillinger will ever get a tag team title. Yeah, I'm wondering that too, guys. Mike, you bring up a great point. Dillinger and Zayn work well together. They get the crowd involved. They're the perfect baby faces. Okay, that's, good analogy. All right, let's move on to the women, shall we? Charlotte Flair versus Lana. Oh my. You know what? Lana has to be insane for wanting this match, or wanting to have that match with Charlotte Flair. And I got to tell you guys, I didn't really care for this match. Charlotte had fun. I did too. So it wasn't terrible. So, let's see, she's trying to prove herself, and she did okay, and it's not all that great. All right, so now we're seeing a preview of SummerSlam, where, I don't know, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon talk about the United States Championship, so another promo, which is uncanny for SmackDown to have a few promos, right? So, Owens... Yeah, it's great when he said the point in the promo. I'd rather win the United States Championship in America. Okay, so Styles, during the brawl, hits Shane accidentally, and great heat for AJ, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen, and there's going to be an AJ Styles versus McMahon part two. So, reading this review, my own take on it is that they're probably going to screw Owens out of the championship again. It's fine by me. Now, Naomi versus Carmella, of course. Super kick by Carmella. Randy Orton, and the reason why I'm not covering that match is because we all know that Carmella gets a lot of heat. So my analysis on the whole match between Carmella and Naomi, okay, you knew Ellsworth's suspension was up. So that much is true, that Ellsworth is going to interfere regardless, guys. So enough of the squawking, all right? Okay, Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal. Yeah. I don't think a lot of Toronto's fans really took kindly to Randy Orton, just like they didn't take kindly to Bayley. Man, I'm going to touch on that subject, and I'm laughing at WWE just a smidgen. Just a smidgen. Because Bayley got booed? No, it's because the fact that they tried to drown out the boos with, I don't know what, some kind of sound effect that sounds like cheers. So, okay. Anyways, back to Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal. It's stereotypical Randy Orton maneuvers like follow-away slam, snap power slam. When he countered the Coloss, okay. So he got attacked by Rusev. Ooh, okay. Does that mean that Rusev and Mahal are reuniting? I don't know. But it made itself apparent that Randy Orton's made more enemies than he's made friends. That's not uncommon for him, though. So, let's see here. Man, okay. So as I'm sitting here, before I go off tangent on off the rails for a full complete hour, if you're looking to call in, man, go ahead at 213-943-3422. That's 213-943-3422. And trust you me, I got a lot to say, but we're not going to do so until the advertisements. If you like to sign up for a wrestling school, you can do so by going to monsterfactory.org. That is monsterfactory.org. And trust me, it's going to be a lot of fun because Danny Cage has a camp coming up October 13th. 14th at the world's famous Monster Factory in Paulsboro. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org. Go to eventbrite.com for your ticket or for your name, sign up, whatever, credit card information. Please follow the instructions in the link. Danny will kill me if I give out the wrong information. So please visit the website. His phone number is on there. You can text him. Call him if you need to. Just say, hey, I'm Joe Blow from Greenwich. I am ready to come to your super camp. So please, by all means, sign up. It is going to be a fun-filled camp featuring a lot of big names. You want to know what those big names are? Check out the website. Check on Facebook, Instagram. There's more information on there with the link provided to the camp for eventbrite.com. Might be discounted offers. You never know. Also, for experienced wrestlers, it is $2,000 plus a $500 down payment, $1,000 for non-experienced wrestlers. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org. If you'd like to sign up for a wrestling school in Kansas City, Iowa, whatever, school in Iowa, School of Brave for Black, contact the trainer Merrick Brave for more information about that. Is Tyler Black School of Brave? Sorry, I'm butchering names here. Anyways, if you'd like to sign up for an awesome school in the Kansas City area, go to fightkc.com. And you can definitely get through by also messaging Derek Stone over Facebook. It's $20 for the audition. And later on, he will work out a payment with you. For more information, contact Derek Stone. That's D-E-R-E-K Stone, S-T-O-N-E. What more do I have to say? I mean, they're the best school in Kansas City. That's National Wrestling League. TPC is located in North Kansas City, Missouri. For more information on trading hours and also tuition costs, please message the website or contact Derek Stone directly on Facebook, and he shall give you the information. All right, so if you'd like to sign up for thousands upon thousands or millions upon millions of hours of old wrestling footage, you can go sign up for the network at WWE.com. Type on the network icon. You can get your preloaded WWE cards. Sign up for a month free, so you get 3 months plus that. That's four. $29.97 is the cost of the preloaded card. So I beg of you, please sign up, because you are going to get SummerSlam. You are going to get Hell in a Cell, plenty of others. So you have a valid credit card or debit card. Sign up, have a very good internet connection, what have you. So please, by all means, sign up, do the best you can. Do not fuck this opportunity up. It is awesome. Oh, speaking of networks, Monster Factory Network. Be sure to sign up. It is cheaper. It is $7.99. That's MFN, or MFNnetwork.com. You can catch all the latest network, including virtual tours of the school and Factory Fridays, because why? Is awesome. If you don't like it, go fuck yourself. If you like to make a wish, go to makeawish.com, become a make-a-wisher. Why? Because you should. You can make child's wish come true with celebrities, superstars, whomever, NBA stars, NFL, NHL, doesn't matter, NBA, doesn't matter. Sign your child up to have the best experience of his or her life. Become an awesome make-a-wisher. Well, folks, let's enter the Twilight Zone, shall we? Folks, so today's Off the Rails Uncensored is brought to you by Crazy Incorporated and I Don't Give a Fuck Incorporated, plus Go Fuck Yourself Incorporated. Here's what I'm going to say, Incorporated. Depression in wrestling, it is real. It is not fake. It is not a work. It is fucking real. Now, some people say, go to a shrink, make yourself better. Do some things that'll get your mind off of whatever it is you're doing. Okay, guys, depression in wrestling is real. You can either just be really burned out from it and then just decide, okay, I'm going to make a comeback, I'm going to make my body better, I'm going to cleanse my bad auras out. It just so happens that one experience I had is not going to detail depression in wrestling. I'm pretty sure that I could get guys to come on here and talk about this sad shit, but I got some awesome things to tell you. It is, ever since I've been wondering what goes on or whatever when people who treated me badly in my mind or didn't stand up for me are making peace with me, that made me feel better about my depression in wrestling, because being a part of the podcast, people think, well, their career must have died. How in the hell did my fucking career die if I'm on podcasting? It's not just about me. There's other guys, their family members died. they had to deal with having no money or not being able to pay their training tuition or not being able to have a car, having to feel ashamed to ask for a ride or a buck or two so they can shower. Yes, guys, I said it. Some workers are literally homeless because they've given everything up to become a pro wrestler. Some people are paid just based on their face or their name, and that's fine. How does that make me or anyone depressed in wrestling? Or more or less not depression, but I guess feeling envious of someone because they do this or they're not as good as I am or they're not, you know, up to par. I hate to say it. But here's the truth. Sometimes you just gotta look at wrestling as if it were a job that once you reach a certain level, you just gotta keep going. You gotta look at it as something that always is constantly evolving. And when I say it constantly keeps changing, look at, okay, from the 70s in wrestling, or even before that, up until now, you've got to understand something. There are guys that were depressed. I mean, look, Brian Pillman, Eddie Guerrero. I'll use those two as examples because people said Brian Pillman was nuts. There's probably a reason why they called him the loose cannon. Yeah, because when you put drugs, wrestling, you know, sex, women all together, it's kind of like being a rock star. You have all the money, all the fame, yet what is the remaining problem? Or what is the underlying problem? If you're not satisfied with who you are outside of the ring, it's not pinpointable because people will call me a jackass for that. Well, here's my humble opinion about it, is what I'm going to tell you all. It all depends on what's going through the individual's mind. You can tell them how to feel 9 out of 10 fucking times, and they will not care. They'll say, yeah, well, it must be better. Them getting out of their situation has to come from them. It's hard, trust me, it is definitely hard to have a friend in wrestling because there are those that try to outshine you, there are those that try to do certain things, but guess what? When I started realizing little by little that I had a different path than everyone else in wrestling, it didn't separate me and made me a better or bigger or badder person. It made me feel better knowing that, okay, I am not managing anymore, but that's my choice. I could easily just pick up the phone and message someone on Facebook and say, hey, I heard about your promotion. What can I do to help? See, that attitude is extremely hard to come by because in my mind, oh, I managed a match in Larned, Kansas. I just think this is how bookings are going to go all the time. Then when I figured out, oh, no, you know, not every promotion uses managers. Some people don't care. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Depression in wrestling can stem from a lot of shit. Can stem from being on the road too long. It can stem away, you know, stem from being away from family members. It can stem from a promoter having a beef with you and you feel like they're targeting you. Hell, man, I don't know. There's a lot of bases that I haven't covered. Depression can come from fucking just being depressed. I'm not a fucking psychologist, obviously. I've been in therapy for 17 plus years. So, depression in wrestling, let's just, you know, call it ace of spades, right? Let's just sweep it under the rug and be positive for the entire time. You know why people tell you that? It's because they don't want to hear certain truths. So they tell themselves, okay, well, if I have this much attention, it's still not enough. There's a lot of attention whores in wrestling that if they're not getting the attention, then they get depressed. So that's another form of depression, is the vanity that comes from, you know, them getting all the attention on social media, all the attention from their peers, telling them that they're the best, but they themselves feel like they're complacent or stuck. It's not, as I said, I'm just circulating thoughts and spewing them out, because some people will tell me, if you pinpoint it, you're a jackass, you're a know-it-all, you're this, that, the other. You know what, I stop caring about other people's opinions unless it was helpful advice to say, hey, get your head out of your ass. You know, you need to get out. You need to do something. You need to eat breakfast. You need to eat some dinner. Little things help when you have friends around just watching a movie. So dealing with depression in wrestling is not healthy. It's like dealing with depression at work, but worse, because it's something that some of us actually want to do. And granted, you know, where we are 10 years from now, does it matter? To some of us, it does. Because I talk with my friend all the time. I'm not going to mention names just for the safety's sake. You know, not revealing someone's identity on air. I'm just going to tell you, it's not fun dealing with a friend that, you know, you look up to and you say, he's my reason for living, yada, yada. This is the reason why I'm in wrestling. And then all of a sudden, boom, like a gun, like a bullet to the chest, he says the words, I don't think people would want me here anymore. But then, you know, the smoke clears and he's fine again. It's like, you know, this is getting out of hand in regards to depression. So what? You think stuff's going to come to you right away. It's normal. Because, you know, we all want that opportunity to shine. We all want that happiness in wrestling. You just got to find it. Because basically what this boils down to, in a nutshell, is how do you get out of it? Well, looking around, man, there's seminars, there's camps, there's a lot of shit people are unaware of that are not familiar with. And that's going outside your comfort zone, making sure that you have a backdrop, like an education. So if wrestling doesn't work out, you have somewhere to go. Trust me, it's not easy sometimes on this show, but I do find ways to make my point. And I'm going to take a segue and a break from talking about depression and wrestling, because I could easily talk about this for the rest of the 46 minutes, but I figure, why not just go over the SummerSlam card for now? Because here it is. Some of the matches on there, they would have been, I don't know how fans would react in Brooklyn to, you know, two certain matches that got scratched out, obviously. But, yes. So I'm going to go over this really quickly, because I don't want to take too much time talking about SummerSlam. So John Cena, Baron Corbin, Cass, and Big Show. This is the card so far. They spelled Shinsuke wrong. That's really bad. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship. So are they going to take it off of Jinder? No, I don't know. Naomi versus Natalya for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. Again, I don't know the outcome. I'm just making prediction here. So then Natalya is going to win the championship. And then Carmella is going to cash in. You never know. So the winner of Sasha and Nia goes on to face Alexa Bliss. I like the look of that versus Bayley. And I will tell you why. Bayley is a great competitor. She works her ass off. But I honestly think, guys, she's not that entertaining. And how the hell she made it to main roster, because she worked her ass off and busted her ass and did what she was told. She said during Corey Graves' interview, I don't know if this was force-fed or spoon-fed, whatever, why would you not want to put bruises on someone? I mean, you're a good competitor, but I bet you if Becky Lynch was on SmackDown Live instead of Bayley, that Raw Women's Championship belt would be around Becky's waist. Just saying. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship with Shane McMahon as the referee. I smell a screw job. And Owens will lose. I could be wrong. Akira Tozawa versus Neville for the Cruiserweight title. It'd be really ironic if Akira Tozawa ends up winning that championship. The New Day versus the Usos. Maybe this may be shock value for you guys. Not a big fan of New Day, but I believe they might just have a chance to win the tag team championships in Brooklyn. You have Randy Orton versus Rusev. Borefest, Snoozefest, don't care. Randy Orton's going to win. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. Ah, one of my favorite matches on the card. I say that Finn Balor or Bray, they're going to give you guys one hell of a show. It's going to be back and forth, a lot of hot action. I pick Finn Balor. Oh, boy. Big Show versus Cass. Big Cass. Lorenzo Amore suspended high above in a shark cage. Why? And don't care. John Cena versus Baron Corbin. Okay. Don't give a flying fuck about those two. One's an annoying shit-faced heel. Shit-faced meaning he looks like a Kevin Nash bootleg. A lot shorter. He's not any... I mean, his move end of days is pretty decent. Not a big fan. He's going against Cena, I bet you, my co-host with the most, or host with the most, my bad, is probably going to cheer Baron Corbin. Simply because, oh, I don't know, he's a hometown boy. The fuck? That's not a reason to cheer anybody. He's a hometown boy, would, you know, fit for certain guys. But Baron Corbin, really? I mean, some people may cheer him in Brooklyn. Some people actually, they cheer for Cena. I don't know what that's going to tell you. It's going to tell you that they're a wrestling crowd and they'll cheer for whomever, boo for whomever. My overall grade on SummerSlam's card, I think NXT TakeOver. For example, Sanity is being involved in TakeOver Brooklyn. That's going to be amazing. See, Nikki Cross, not that capacity, but you have a tag team match going on. You have Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre. You have Ember Moon versus Asuka. This is the most talked about match, aside from McIntyre versus Bobby Roode for the NXT Championship. There's certain times that TakeOver has been lackluster. Not really. Because certain matches, they're always going to outshine, their own matches. And I love saying it. It's always been the highlight in Brooklyn. So let's take a look at the NXT TakeOver 3 Brooklyn card. So, Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode. I'm going to say McIntyre, maybe. Yes. Asuka versus Ember Moon for the women's title. I predict, you know, Asuka's probably going to lose. That's going to propel Ember Moon to be the new NXT Women's Champion. Moving on, Authors of Pain versus Sanity for the Tag Team Championship. So that makes Sanity the baby faces, which is odd. I don't know why. Cassius Ohno versus Hideo Tommy. And Aleister Black versus Red Dragon. Holy shit. Again, a stat card that I get to witness for the third straight year in my backyard. In, not my backyard, literally, but at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And a lot of stuff's been going on between Hideo Tommy and Ohno, so I think this match is going to be so fucking crazy. It's going to be all the way. You got Cassius Ohno. You've got Aleister Black, who by far, you know, drives the fans bonkers with his crazy outlandish shit. So, going to go out on a limb here in the rest of the 40 minutes. I'm not going to take up most of your time, folks. Andrade Chien versus Almas. Or Andrade Chien Almas versus Johnny Gargano. Johnny Wrestling comes back to his hometown. The Ruby Riott versus Peyton Royce. I hope Peyton Royce gets her face kicked over. Just saying, sorry. I really don't care for her. Again, my assessment of this entire thing, NXT and SummerSlam, you know which one I'm going to choose, right? NXT over SummerSlam any day of the fucking week. Why? Because, yeah, it's not a glorified indie show, dude. That's not right. It's guys and gals from the indies that made it to the big leagues or the minor decathlon and are making a name for themselves in wrestling. So you can't really fault them for serving the business however way they're supposed to start serving it. Now, main matches I'm looking forward to, actually three, Payne versus Sanity, Ember Moon versus Asuka, and Ruby Riott versus Peyton Royce. Simply because, you know, Ruby Riott is the face that I would love to have signed over Bayley any day. Now, granted, she was, you know, a lot of people complain that she wasn't on main, but compare Ruby Riott and Bayley's track record, shall we? Ruby Riott is well known among the independents, okay? She's not that well known unless you watch her on the network and just sit down and actually have a decent time. So, here's what I have to tell you all. If you're watching the network on Saturday, be sure to watch a few matches that interest you. Don't turn it off. I'm not saying turn it off. But I am going to tell you it's highly important to watch the Asuka match and Ember Moon because those two are going to give you one hell of a match. And if they don't, okay, that's, you know, whoever, you know, that's your taste, whatever, it's your forte. Do I think Asuka will go to main? I don't know. Obviously, when she, you know, had that promo in Japanese, kind of sealed the deal now, didn't it? So, here's what I got to tell you all. Watch everything in Brooklyn, and if you are in Brooklyn, go to the autograph sessions. They're free at Cricket Wireless. You don't have to pay the $150 for Ambrose or Rollins. And speaking of which, so no, this is a SmackDown Live kind of night because I review Raw. Now we review SmackDown Live on my show, Off the Rails Uncensored. Here's my thoughts. If I'm a WWE fan and I'm going to NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, if I'm going to SummerSlam, my main process of thought is, which one's better? You know, do I really want to spend $192 to go to SummerSlam off StubHub? Do I really want to spend the $400 to go sit on the floor? God, you guys ask weird questions at weird times. I don't know. Whoever you bought tickets from, great. But the reason why I'm going is because I want to see wrestling. This is when wrestling gets good or great again. Nah, not Trump's logo, but yeah, that's a different story. And I'm not going to get into politics on my fucking show. So here it is. My take on SummerSlam is going to be a C or a B, overall grade-wise. My take on WWE SmackDown Live, it's not SmackDown Live. Dang it. Question made me question. My take on NXT TakeOver 3 in Brooklyn, I give it an A, and I haven't even gone through the show yet. I just read off the card. Now, back to talking about depression. Actually, you know what? We're going to cover one match of SummerSlam that I think is going to be kind of underrated. Jinder Mahal, Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't believe they should take the title off him, but Nakamura is championship caliber material. He was the NXT champion. What's the difference between NXT and Maine? NXT, they're more hungry for it, but when you get to Maine, you prove why you were the badass on NXT. So it's constantly proving yourself. I think Nakamura has proven that, being in this business for 15 years, guys, if he gets that WWE championship, that culminates his journey. That makes him credible, more so than he already is. He's already credible. There's no doubt about it. The matches that, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Owens, Shane, and AJ. Shane's been a referee before, folks. If you haven't known this, just look it up on the network. He's been a referee plenty of times, and he screwed some people over. Makes for good heat. Makes for good fan discussion. And you guys won't stop bitching about it on fucking Facebook. So, trust me, you guys do. Don't sit there and bitch at me over Instagram. See what I did there? What's my take on Alexa Bliss if she has to face Sasha or Nia or both? Well, that's kind of a tough spot. I do like all three women. If you guys ask me what my personal opinion on that is, my personal opinion on all those individuals I just listed, I would hope that Nia Jax wins. I'd hope that Asuka comes up to Raw and takes the women's championship from her at Hell in a Cell. Because Hell in a Cell, actually no, that might be a SmackDown Live pay-per-view. I think it is. So, yes, I said this a million times. If Asuka comes to the main roster, she will definitely impact that roster when she gets on it. So, I just have to say, no matter if you're asking a question, if I go through NXT and then I make it to Maine. So you're basically saying, by the way, it's your, I hate people that don't really get what I'm saying the first time around. Asuka, if I have to explain it to you a second time on the show, that I'm, you know, I'm not. Okay, so your question is, if Asuka goes to Maine, who do you think she'll destroy? Guys, it's not up to me. I'm not a part of creative. I just simply watch, observe, and just tell you guys what I believe is going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. She's not going to get on the show and instantly, you know, say, here, you know, I'm going to be the women's champion. There's got to be an open challenge type setup. And then Asuka's got to just destroy everyone in her path. Then wait to her pay-per-view. Wait, because if you do it on Raw, you're giving the Monday Nitro feel to things, and I just don't like that at all. I think it's retarded. I think that it's not worth it. So you're wanting a championship match the moment she gets on Raw. Again, I mean, that's up to you, so. On a scale of 1 to 10, I rate Asuka a 12, because she knows how to dial it up. All right. I rate, you know, I don't rate wrestlers unless you really, really, really terrible or really, really good. So, all right, 29 minutes left. What to talk about? Ah, yes. Enough of the SummerSlam card. We're back to depression and wrestling. Brought to you by Crazy Incorporated. Well, you know, look, guys. Just got to find therapeutic ways to get your head out of your ass. Go train, get better, do better, feel better. You know, it's not the end of the world if you don't get booked. It's not the end of the world if you don't make WWE in a full year or two. Keep putting stuff on your page, making your page look professional, getting photos done, making sure, you know, you're being good with the audience. You're doing certain things that allow them to connect with you. And it can be small, minuscule things like signing autographs or getting them, you know, involved with your character, whether it be dressing up in weird gimmick, not just gimmick, but making sure that you know what points of the match or what points in the night you need to work on. Write out all your goals. Do whatever you have to. It doesn't have to be just writing shit down. It could be a lot of stuff. Wrestling has range, that's for damn sure. And that range can be from 1 to 0 to 10, 1 to 11, because you always got to turn your dial up for that crowd. That crowd should be the main reason why you go out and do whatever you're doing. And also because you have conviction in what you're doing. If you're not convicted enough or feeling convicted enough, or invested enough in what you're doing, like me in this podcast. If I didn't have subject to talk about, guess what? I'll find something. I'll write down on a piece of paper 10 things and narrow it down or whatever I have to do to talk to you about wrestling. But again, it's not just about one person and their story. It's about how, you know, they dealt with their depression, whether it be, you know, hitting rock bottom, no pun intended, or, you know, and how they dealt with shady shit, how they dealt with fighting through all the turmoil, all the pain, you know, paying bills. There's a saying, don't speak about it, be about it. If you constantly go on tap and saying, I'm going to be this, or I wish I was, then you're just going to be a wisher. You're never going to be somebody that actually goes out and does something and says, you know, I am 100% on this. I am whatever. Or I am the best wrestler, blah, blah, blah. But yet you're only doing local indie shit. So what? You know? And then behind closed doors, you are upset because Lord only knows you've tried to get yourself out of that depression, out of that rut, but you keep bitching about it on fucking Facebook. Quit doing that shit. God almighty, if one more person, I am so depressed, blah, 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 oh, the struggle is real. Okay. So your struggle is real. What was so fake about it in the first place? We all fucking have points where we alienate ourselves from groups. And we think it's okay because, you know, oh, this guy's going through this, man. I'm not going through what he's going through. So obviously I'm cool. Keep telling yourself that. If you think that depression is something that you can just fork off and just be like, okay, you know, I'm going to tweet about it, or I'm going to be nasty to a fan at the next show, or I'm going to just be a complete douche canoe to someone because they're, you know, I can hide my feelings however you guys approach it, however you guys approach depression in wrestling. That's on you. I'm not going to sit there and give out camp counselor advice, as I mentioned earlier. Because depression, it's real. In wrestling, that is. It's not something that we just say, ouch. You know, I can get over it, put a Band-Aid over it, and just rip it off, metaphorically speaking. No, wrestling is, you know, it's an... You either love it, hate it, or get married to it. Doesn't matter which order. But when you get depressed... Man alive, I can tell you from experience, man. Okay, at one point during training, I remember taking a notebook and saying, songs for when my eulogy is to happen. Crazy shit, right? Some people say, you're not a Greek tragedy. Some people say, get over yourselves, or, you know, you're really making this about you. Okay, would you like me to tell you stories about friends in wrestling who, you know, thought I was being mistreated, or I wasn't being booked, or I wasn't getting out what I wanted to? You know what I have to say? Some people are whiny bitches. Some people actually get off their high horse and actually fucking do something about being depressed. It's easier said than done. Because when you know you feel that you are not where you're supposed to be, you become complacent, you become deep in depression, and that ain't healthy. So however you get out of being in said depression in wrestling, I give you a hint. Look at the advice. Do not, you can type in a comment if that makes you feel some people need reassurance, and that's not just in wrestling. Some people need verbal reassurance to make themselves out to be the individual they are. That's fine. Whatever you have to do to get yourself out of that funk. Now, depression can be small, moderate, mild, or fucking holy shit. Shit just hit the fan. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm burned the fuck out. I think we all hit that point in our careers, man. Whether it be 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, whatever. If you're doing this, there's got to be something, some kind of fucking formula to get your mind in gear. That's what I came from the mindset of. If some veteran in the business lights a fire under your ass and says, this is why you are depressed, you know, quit making this out to be like, you know, the main reason why you are mad or sad or angry at the business. All the business does, guys, is let you be informed, let you know that the business, this is business for you, or the business for you, this is not the business for you, this is the path, that's the path. As I said, sounds like advice. I'm just pointing out the obvious. If you find an opening, don't be ashamed to take said opening. Does that mean step on your peers while doing it? I don't know. That's up to you. When it, you know, you guys want to be snakes, whether you guys want to be helpful, it doesn't matter. Whether you guys want to be a servant, whatever you are in this business, it doesn't matter. Whatever role you are satisfied with having, go ahead, take it. Do what you want with it. But do not sit there on social media and straight up tell everyone your fucking problems in wrestling. It irritates me because, well, I feel like this, I feel like that. If you're asking, you know, there's a difference between asking for where to go, what to do, how to get there versus, man, I'm so fucking frustrated. I'm starting to feel unnerved. I deserve this. Really, you deserve it. So just like the rest of us that are trying to put our nose to the grind and actually make a name for ourselves, whether it be podcasting, managing, refereeing, or even fucking wrestling for that matter, you're no different. So yes, depression exists. It's a problem that can be solved because some people are too proud to go to fucking therapy because they're, oh, I don't feel the need to go to therapy because I think I'm better off just telling a friend because it's free. Yeah, it's okay. Therapy is not always the answer either. I get that. When you're involved in wrestling, you have people that tell you all kinds of crazy shit, like, oh, I'm thinking, not just thinking about suicide, but, you know, oh, you know, the crazy stories, man, that I can tell you about me being depressed and wrestling, oh, being on the, you get what you put into this. This business isn't just about getting championships and being, you know, I mean, that's the goal. How do you get to be champion? How do you get that accolade? Serve. What are you doing to serve the business? If the business notices in local promoters, any promoter, doesn't matter. They'll notice that if you're depressed, you're, you know, always negative. They'll notice. And guess what? It's not a good feeling knowing that, you know, you constantly relay what happened in your past. Then that tells every promoter and their mother what you did or what you're doing in a negative fashion. So your depression deepens because you keep deepening the fucking wound yourself. It has to, you know, the change has to come from within, man. Whether you agree with it or not. So what I'll tell you is don't give up just because you're not where you want to be. It's easier said than done. Stay focused on whatever makes you happy. I keep repeating this, but I think it's great. I found a podcast for me to fucking vent or just relay my thoughts and piece them together. Some people find that being a referee was a good change, you know, and their hearts wanted to be wrestlers. Some people are happy and content to fucking settle. Some people are happy and content to fucking bitch about every little thing. But you know something, folks? It helps when you have others that can give you advice, kind of guide you with advice GPS, which is get over your fucking self. You're no bigger than anybody in this business. And the reason why certain people are in the positions they are, does some of it have to do with luck? Luck's for losers. Remember who said that? So, winding down off the rails uncensored, I'm going to tell you guys, I've had good memories in wrestling, I've had bad, and they are going to keep, you know, memories are going to keep constantly getting formed. So, depression in wrestling, it's a cycle of the worker or referee or whomever being away, you know, from what they love. They want to do it, then they come back to do it, then they get burned out again. It's a vicious cycle sometimes. But it's a cycle that can be good storytellers later on when you do make it. So to my friend who I, you know, was talking with a few days ago, I believe in you, dude. I firmly believe in you 100%. And I'm hoping and praying that, you know, you take it from a one day at a time mentality, because it's easy to say and you keep looking at the big picture instead of looking at, you know, what you're doing in the here and now, not the past. Instead of griping, you know, like I do, I know you can fucking do it, because your time will come. So even if it's local, even if it's, you know, not main stage in WWE or New Japan Pro Wrestling, I got to tell you, dude, out of all the people that I've been around in wrestling, probably the one that's most driven to start doing his own shit and just go on from there. So for the love of Pete, you know, you can do it. Just keep pushing day to day. I will help, you know, continue pushing your merch. And I will continue rambling on like a psychotic asshole. But I do have points to the rambling and piecing things together. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me, The Rails Uncensored. I do have the Unlucky 13, which is why I'm babbling on for just a minute longer. I've had times where I'm back to depression wrestling, where I've gotten along with some of the boys, had my moments with some of them, I've really lashed out at them. You know, I'm very short-tempered at times. I am bipolar. I do have Asperger's. I do have a lot of psychological issues. That being said, am I all fucked up in the head? I would be lying if I said that I'm not, but I am able to piece together certain things and be coherent when piecing said things together. Depression in wrestling. Don't give up on the individual if they tell you, you know, I feel I'm worthless, and then you add fuel to the fire. Don't do that shit. If you're with somebody that's a worker, and, you know, don't point out the flaws that come along with wrestling, because that's bullshit. So, again, I know I'm sounding like I'm handing out advice, which, you know, this is off the rails uncensored. So I'm not going to leave things to your imagination. I'm just going to be blunt with it. If you're involved in professional wrestling and you have all the free time in the world, you know, don't be complacent. Don't get stuck. Go out, find bookings, find promoter, help whatever, you know, whatever needs help. Don't think you're above the law. Just do the best you can. So depression in wrestling, it's not everybody's favorite subject, but you know fucking what? It is real. It's not a, you know, psychological disorder that's involved. Maybe it is. Is it fixable? Yes. Follow formulas. Look for, you know, listen to any advice given. And just, you know, like Uncle Bob says, be a servant. Reflect upon what you're talking about. Don't talk in circles. Just get to the point and go. Do the drives. Be awesome. Be humble. Love you guys. Catch you on the flip side, bitches. I'm outie. Gotta go to bed. Start my other, you know, start another day. Toodles.
The cost of personality.